There was only one thing to do, only one possible source of succor. Takata Jim sent the scouts streaking toward the second battle fleet. They must have witnessed his attack. They would think him an ally if he survived long enough to reach them. He sped out into space, chased by a herd of behemoths that turned and lumbered after him. Chapter 110 Streaker.
Now, Jillian?
Almost, dear. Another minute.
Those ships from the north seem to have decided. Several of them are turning this way. Correction, the whole skirmish is heading southward, toward us.
Jillian couldn't make herself feel too bad about drawing fire away from Tom's position. He was only returning his favor, after all.
All right, you choose a trajectory. I want to head out east on the ecliptic, just as soon as that second fleet finishes turning toward the longboat.
Tisht warbled an impatient sigh.
Aye, sir.
She swam to the pilot's position and conferred with Lucky Ka. Chapter 111 Tom. He raised his head above the surface of the pool where he had taken refuge. Where had everybody gone all of a sudden? Minutes ago, the sky had been ablaze with pyrotechnics. Burning ships were falling out of the sky right and left. Now he caught sight of a few stragglers high in the distant sky, speeding southward. It took him a moment to come up with a guess. Thanks, Jill, he thought. Now, give them hell for me.
Chapter 112 Takata Jim. Takata Jim spluttered in frustration. He was so busy there wasn't time to work on the fire controls. Desperate, he sent impulses, shutting down whole blocks of computer memory. Finally, something worked. The weapon system turned off. Frantically, he made the ship roll left and applied full thrust to escape a spread of torpedoes. The two fleets were coming together quickly, with him in between. Takata Jim intended to dive into the second fleet and stop behind it, conveying by his actions what he couldn't say by radio, that he was seeking protection. But the controls wouldn't respond. He couldn't correct from his last evasive maneuver. He must have shut down too much memory. The longboat streaked outward at right angles to the converging fleets, away from both of them. Both armadas turned to follow.
Chapter 113 Streaker.
Now, she said.
The pilot needed no urging. He had already been adding momentum. Now he applied full power. Streaker's engines roared, and she left the atmosphere on a crackling trail of ionization. The acceleration could be felt even through stasis, even inside the fluid-filled bridge. The gray sea disappeared under a white blanket of clouds. The horizon became a curve, then an arc. Streaker fell outward into an ocean of stars.
They're following us, the skirmishers from up north.
How many?
About 20.
Tish listened to her neural link for a moment.
They're strung out, except for a fairly big group at the rear. Hardly any two of them seem to be of the same race. I hear shooting. They're fighting each other, even as they chase us.
How many in that final bunch?
Six, I think.
Well, let's see what we can do when we stretch our legs.
The planet fell behind them, as Lucky Ka sent Streaker accelerating in the direction Jillian had chosen. Beyond Kithrop's horizon, a great battle had begun. Her path kept her hidden by the planet's bulk for several minutes. Then they came into view of the conflagration. A million kilometers away, space was filled with bright explosions and hackle-raising shrieks that feebly penetrated the side-screens. Tisht commented.
The big boys are fighting over Takata Jim. We might even make it out of the system before the major fleets could catch up with us.
Jillian nodded. Toshio's sacrifice had not been in vain.
Then our problem is these little guys on our tail. Somehow we've got to shake them off. Maybe we can do a dodge behind the gas giant planet. How long until we can get to it?
Hard to judge, Jillian. Maybe an hour. We can't use overdrive in system, and we're carrying a lot of excess mass.
Tisht listened to her link, concentrating.
The ones on our tail have mostly stopped beating on each other. They may be damaged, but I think at least two of the lead ships will catch up with us about the time we reach the gas giant.
Jillian looked at the hollow tank. Kithrop had shrunk to a tiny ball in one corner, a sparkle of battle beyond it. On this side, a chain of small dots showed Streaker's pursuers. In the forward tank, a shining pastel-striped globe began to grow. A huge world of frigid gas, looking much like Jupiter, swelled slowly but perceptibly. Jillian pursed her lips and whistled softly.
Well, if we can't outrun them, I guess we'll have to try an ambush.
Tisht stared at her.
Jillian, those are battleships. We're only an overweight Snark-class survey ship.
Jillian grinned.
This Snark has become a boojum, girl. The Thenanin shell will do more than just slow us down, and we may be able to try something they'll never expect.
She didn't mention that given a chance, she wanted to hang around this system a while, in case of a miracle.
Have all loose objects been secured?
Standard procedure. It's been done.
Good. Please order all crew out of the central bay. They're to strap themselves in wherever they can.
Tisht gave the order, then turned back with a questioning look. Jillian explained.
We're slow because we're overweight, right? They'll be shooting at us before we reach the cover of the gas giant, let alone overdrive range. Tell me, Tisht, what's making us overweight?
The Thenanin shell.
And what else?
Tisht looked puzzled. Jillian hinted with a riddle. Living touch, the substance of motion, like air, forgotten until it's gone. Tisht stared blankly. Then she got it. Her eyes widened.
Pretty tricky, yes. It just might work at that. Still, I'm glad you told me. The crew are going to want to wear the right apparel.
Jillian tried to snap her fingers in the water and failed.
Spacesuits. You're right, Tisht. What would I do without you?
Chapter 114 Galactics.
The side battle amongst all the remnant forces seems to have moved away from the planet, a Paha warrior reported. They are streaming away from Kithrop, chasing a rather large vessel.
The Soro Krat finished paring a ling plum. She fought to hide the nervous tremor in her left arm.
Can you identify the one they pursue?
It does not appear to be the quarry.
The Paha tastefully ignored the fleet mistress's obvious wave of relief on hearing this.
It is too large to be the Earth ship. We have tentatively identified it as a crippled feminine, although...
Yes?
Krat asked archly.
The Paha hesitated. It behaves strangely. It is inordinately massive, and its motors seem to have a quasi-Tim Brimey tone. It is already too far to read clearly.
Krat grunted.
What is our status?
The Tandu parallel us, sniping at our flanks as we do theirs. We both chase the Earth Scout. Both of us have ceased firing at the boat, except when it gets too close to the other side.
Krat growled.
This vessel leads us farther and farther from the planet, from the true quarry. Have you contemplated a scout ship whose very purpose may have been to accomplish this?
He snapped.
The Paha considered, then nodded.